Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have a special Memorial Day show for you today, an interview with the great David Kaplan of ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago. He's the host of Sports Talk Live, one of my favorite shows that I watch daily. He's a Chicago icon, but I'm not sure how many of you are aware of his importance in Bulls history. In the summer of 1994, before titles 4, 5, and 6 for the beloved Bulls, the Bulls agreed to trade Scottie Pippen and the number 21 pick to the Sonics for Sean Kemp and a number 11 pick. Cap tells his side of the story in this interview, a story which I feel is the most underrated and underreported in the history of Chicago sports. The ramifications of Cap's actions were massive. I encourage you to listen to this interview, contemplate the possible ramifications if he did not get involved, and enjoy the great storytelling of David Kaplan. We also discussed the negativity in the fan base. We started out with that before we got into the story of the Pippen trade. And we also talked about the Bulls passing on Michael Finley in the 95 draft. One more note, we're 1 month away from today, from the debate for the soul of Bulls Nation. I, C. Red Fred, leader of C. Red Nation, will debate the talented Mr. Peck of Dog of Bull Nation. Light side versus the dark side, Luke versus the Emperor. You can come up with any more analogies that you see fit, but this will be on the NBC Sports Facebook site. In the interim, email the show at chicagobullseye@gmail.com. Contact me on Twitter at CBE Fred. That's in Chicago Bullseye Fred. CBE Fred on Twitter. Until next time, enjoy my interview with the great David Kaplan. To start out first, you're a Chicago icon and your first appearance on a Chicago Bullseye. Before we get into the primary reason I wanted you on today to discuss the Pippen trade of 1994 that didn't happen, I'd like to get your opinion on something. From 2008 to 2017, 9 full seasons, the first 2 seasons with Vinny Del Negro, 5 seasons with Tibbs, and the first 2 seasons for Freddie Hoiberg until we started the rebuild, the Bulls missed the playoffs once. They had 0 losing seasons. With that kind of record, you would think the fan base would be far more optimistic. What, in your opinion, is the reason, outside of obviously the missed title, what do you think the reason is for the overwhelming negativity among the fan base?
Well, I think the overwhelming negativity, C. Red Fred, is twofold. One, they haven't won. Two, there hasn't been the upheaval in the front office when you don't win that you see in so many other markets, and then you miss on some draft picks. You combine all of that with they do a bad job in public relations. They just do.
Yeah.
And I've told them this. When you have, for example, a camp over in Europe, and every single team but one sends their scouts over there and pays the entry fee, which is $10,000, to walk into the camp. Now look, I was an NBA scout for 4 years. Most of these camps are BS. They are. So it's a way for guys to make money running the camps. I ran a pro exposure camp. I know what the deal is on this. But guess what? When you're going over to Europe, you might find one guy, just a bench guy, somebody. You pay the 10 grand and you think of it as, we just bought a commercial. It's a PR move. Because you know what happens? Oh, every team in the NBA went to the camp and paid the 10 grand, and the cheap Bulls didn't spend the 10 grand. It's a PR hit you don't need. If you walk up to a businessman, the CEO of a big company, and said, hey, I can make you look horrible, horrible on social media, mainstream media, whatever, or pay $10,000 and it never happens, they're writing you the check 10 times a day. They are. The Bulls get obstinate. I told this to Pax. It's not like I'm talking, you know, without telling it to his face. Instead, what do they write on ESPN? Oh, every team in the NBA did it except one, the cheap Chicago Bulls. Well, you can't win against that. The old saying is, don't get into a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel. And that saying comes from the old days when newspapers were king. scream from the mountaintops and not many people are going to hear you. But the guy who was writing it in the newspaper, it became gospel. Perception becomes reality. So when you have that and then you fire, let's count them. Okay, he gets the first hire. He fires Bill Cartwright. He hires Scott Skiles. Mm-hmm. Okay, that one goes astray. Let's buy him out. Okay, now let's hire who? We want Mike D'Antoni. Oh, we can't get it done. We'll jump and take Vinny Del Negro.
Well, they got the Doug Collins. Doug Collins was number two, which would have been a great choice before Vinny. Do you recall
that? Well,
but
they never ended up making that hire.
Because of Jerry nixed it. But I thought that would have been a great hire. I mean, Vinny Del Negro was their third choice, basically.
Correct. So I don't think they're all on board, so they hire Vinny. Now the story leaks out that John gets into a fight with Vinny. And that stuff goes on all the time. I can't begin to tell you how many times when I was either coaching or scouting, you'd hear stories of guys going at it in the locker room that never got out because there was no social media back then.
Right.
But it takes on a life of its own. They fire Vinny. Now they bring in Tibbs. I love Tom. Tom's a dear friend of mine. But Tom can be tough sometimes to get along with for front office because he's about, like most coaches, winning today. Don't tell me about developing this guy so 3 years from now that guy's a better player. I got to win tonight.
Yeah.
I'm a coach. And that's the problem when you don't have an aligned coach and front office. So now it gets abrasive. Now you got guys sniping at each other, and you get Tibbs' side going on national media, ripping the Bulls. The Bulls are privately grumbling about Tibbs. So now the beloved Tom Thibodeau is out. Now they bring in a guy who looked to be and turned out to be a front office puppet in terms of the hiring, Gar's puppet, in Fred Hoiberg. Nice man. I think he's highly intelligent about the game. Not really suited to be an NBA coach. And then they don't give him his type of personnel. Hey, let's hire C-Red Fred. He's great at a pace and space offense, but let's give him plotting guys who can't shoot like Rondo and aging Dwayne Wade. Let's not surround him with any of his kind of players. Oh, and after a year, when we find out the head coach can't handle them, let's fire the head coach and get rid of those players, and let's start a complete rebuild till he gets his ass kicked. I mean, it's just one misstep after another. But when you really add it all up, they've made astute draft picks. They have a decent core of players. Now they got to take the next step.
And do you feel that next step is going to happen, assuming they bring in a free agent point guard or draft one that is going to be starter worthy, like a Patrick Beverley, who's my number one choice?
Yeah, I can tell you with, I would say, 99% certainty that Patrick Beverley is not even on their board of players.
Oh, now, my God. Why?
Could that change? Because he's not a great shooter. He's not a lead guard. He's simply just a hard-nosed, tough, combo-type guard that you can ask to guard bigger people, a la his work on Kevin Durant. They want a guy who can play the point, who can shoot the basketball, space the floor, get guys lined up, and run their offense. And in their defense, I understand where they're coming. I love Pat Beverley. He went to my late father's high school, Marshall. I got an affinity for this kid. I've called his games when he was coming out of Marshall and playing in the high school championships. He probably is not the best fit. Now, you want a tough, you know, hard-nosed guy, bring him in. But if you want a point guard that's going to run the offense, be able to make shots, get you into some up-tempo situations, then they're probably looking at a guy like, they like Corey Joseph, they like Ricky Rubio, they like the kid from North Carolina, Kobe White. I don't see them being players for Mike Conley. I don't, because Mike Conley's in his 30s and he's going to have, you know, salaries north of $40 million on the books. I mean, am I spending that kind of money on a 31-year-old point guard? Probably not. So they're going to get better at that position. Maybe they can bring in a Pat Beverley as an extra guy, but he's not a starter worthy lead guard on a team that thinks they're making a run in the Eastern Conference. He's just not. I think Taj Gibson's going to end up back here because he gives you a veteran, professional front court player that helps develop your young core. You have, look, they've got the youngest team going in the league. You have to complement these young kids with a couple of guys that know what it means to be a pro. What does it mean to be a pro, guys? Well, Taj is going to show you. And for as bad as everyone says Gar and Pax are, oh, it's a horrible place to be, Bobby Portis didn't want to leave. Derrick Rose would come back in a second, although I don't think he's on their board either. Taj wants to come back. Joakim wants to be back here. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to be, but if it's such an awful place, why do all these guys never want to leave or want to come back here? That's just a fact.
Yeah, Jimmy didn't want to go either.
Right.
If you talk to Pax, please tell him that Pat Beverly shot 39.7% from three last year. That approach is elite. He's a career 38% shooter from three. He's a much better shooter than people give him credit for. So I'll just throw that out. I'm going to be depressed if it's Rubio. Rubio's not anywhere near the shooter that Pat Beverly is. I digress. Let's get into the most important thing, which is we're approaching the 25th anniversary of, to me, the most underreported, under-discussed story in the history of the Chicago Bulls. And that's the trade for Sean Kemp and Scottie Pippen in the summer of 1994 that you had a tremendous impact on, number one. And Bulls history would have been quite different because this is pre-second three-peat, pre-Dennis Rodman. Could you please share with us and a lot of the listeners who've never heard this before? Let's go into that story. And I think we should first start out with, when I first talked about this to a couple people, they couldn't believe that the Bulls would even contemplate trading Scottie Pippen. Could you share with the listeners why the Bulls would think of trading Scottie Pippen in the summer of 1994?
Well, you got to remember, Michael is walking away from the game. Bulls have won three titles. And Scottie had sat out the 1.8 seconds. And so Tony Kukoc stepped up and made a big shot. Bulls win. And Scottie, at that moment in time, people went, what a quitter. You're going to pout. You didn't get your chance to shoot the ball. They're going to let Tony shoot it. And you quit on your team. That was the perception. Quitter. Loser. The truth is he was a great basketball player who had a momentary lapse in judgment. But add that into, he's got migraines. He couldn't play in big games down the stretch against the Pistons. So all of that, he in truth was an amazing basketball player. Those couple snapshots had colored people's judgment of how good this guy was. They got Michael. He's just good because Michael's there. Jerry Krause decides, and may Jerry rest in peace, he's training Scottie Pippen. He's going to get the Rain Man, Sean Kemp. Look, Sean Kemp was a phenomenal talent. But the bottom line was Sean Kemp had a substance abuse problem, cocaine, acknowledged publicly, and had some other off-the-court issues in his life. Seattle could not wait to move him out of there. Was he a wonderful marketing tool for them, the Rain Man? And, you know, it's in Seattle where it rains all the time. Yeah, and Jerry Krause was fascinated by the 6'10", 265-pound body that he had. So he figures, boy, I got Michael. I put that guy up front. I'm good. So he approaches the Seattle Supersonics and says, hey, I'll trade you Scottie Pippen. You give me back Kemp, Ricky Pierce, and the 11. I'll give you my pick, which was somewhere in the 20s. Okay. Sounds like an interesting trade. I wouldn't make it, but, you know, maybe I have the beneficiary of revisionist history because I know how good Scottie became and I know what happened to Sean Kemp. Nevertheless, they end up agreeing on the deal, and they are high-fiving in the Seattle offices. Now, I am at the draft, and you got to remember, Big Dog, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose are in this draft. Mm-hmm. I am friends with the agent for those guys at the time. He was a professor at Michigan State. His name was Dr. Charles Tucker. And he calls me. I had done him a bunch of favors. I was consulting for a trading card company that did draft pick trading card sets. So I gave a couple of his other clients who probably weren't good enough to be in the set. We did extra cards. I gave the players. Each guy got $5,000. That was big money to a kid graduating college before he had gotten drafted. And I helped him out. He goes, I'll pay you back. I appreciate it. Hey, come on down. I'll give you an exclusive. Sit in my suite the morning of the draft and interview these three guys, Jalen, Big Dog, Juwan Howard. So I go down there. I take my cameraman, Jeff Corbitz, who I work with to this day at NBC Sports Chicago, and this is Sports Channel Chicago at the time. We go down there. I do the three interviews. Thank you, Dr. Tucker. This is amazing. There's no internet to send the stuff back. The draft's in Indy. We're going to get in the van, drive back to Chicago, and have the tapes ready for the news that night, have this great exclusive. Okay. We get on the elevator, and there's a guy staring at me on the elevator. And I look at him, and I go, can I help you? He's like, are you Cap? I said, I am. He's like, oh, that's what I thought. Hey, man, I'm going to be seeing a lot more of you. I work for Tony Dutt and James Bryant, these two agents that were pretty well known in the NBA circles back then. They had some good clients. And I said, oh, I know Tony and James, good guys. I've done some deals with them. He said, yeah, our number one client just got traded to the Bulls 5 minutes ago. I'm actually headed to Chicago. I got to meet our guy's plane. He's got to pass a physical before the draft tonight. And I look at him and go, what? Who the hell are you talking about? He said, oh, God, didn't you know we represent Sean Kemp? And I went, Sean Kemp just got traded to the Chicago Bulls. He's like, 100%, done deal. I'm like, get the blank out of here. He's like, I'm serious, done deal. I go, and what did we give up? Scottie Pippen for Ricky Pierce and the 11 and Sean, and you guys are throwing your first-round pick in, which is later in the draft, in like the 20s something. I'm like, no shot. No shot that's happening. He's like, dude, check it out. I'm just telling you. I'm on my way to Chicago right now. I'm leaving the draft. So I call his bosses, and they're like, yep, it's a, don't quote us, but it's done. I'm like, oh, my God. I go on the air on AM 1000, and I break the story. All hell breaks loose. Now I get a phone call from the Seattle Supersonics radio station, KJR, which is owned at the time by Barry Ackerley, who was the owner of the Sonics. Hey, we just heard your report. Is there any way you could come on our show? Yeah, let's do it. So I go on their show. It's middle of the day, and all hell breaks loose in Seattle. Horrible trade. We don't want Scottie Pippen. He sat out. We got the Rain Man. What are you doing? And people start calling by the hundreds, canceling their season tickets in Seattle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. A buddy of mine is working in the Seattle front office in the marketing department, and then he does their pre- and post-game show, Brian Wheeler, who was my partner on Loyola Basketball. Brian Wheeler today is the voice of the Portland Trailblazers and has been for years. He's an amazingly good play-by-play man. He calls me and goes, dude, I don't know where you got that story, but they just asked us in marketing to print up flyers with the stats and the picture of Scottie Pippen on it for a draft party tonight. I'm like, yeah, it's done. And now that cements it for me. All of a sudden, people, as they're canceling season tickets, the owner, Barry Ackerley, walks into their conference room and says to George Karl, deal's off. I'm not signing off on it. And I'm the owner. We're not doing that deal. He's like, we are doing that deal. We made an amazing trade. Do you know what we're getting rid of? And do you know who we're getting back? We're not doing it. I can't afford to have all these tickets canceled. He said, don't believe it. We're going to win with this kid. Pippen's great. Won't do it. Call Jerry Krause back. Tell him the deal's off. They called Jerry, and one of the guys in that room said to me, Jerry said to them, you got to be kidding me. This is a deal. He said, owner won't go for it. He said, tell the owner I'll throw $1 million. He said, I'll tell him. Calls him back. Owner said, no. He said, tell him $2 million.
Oh, my God.
He got to $3 million. Tell him I'll put $3 million in the deal. I got to get the commissioner to approve it, but I'll put $3 million in the deal. He said, nope, not going to do it. Owner says no. So now the draft is coming up, and this is all they're talking about on TV. We're waiting confirmation of the Chicago deal. Okay, the 11th pick comes. Seattle selects whoever. Bulls aren't there. And
well, they took Carlos Rogers, right? Was that in the 1994 draft? I checked before this. Yeah, Seattle took Carlos Rogers.
So, okay, they get Carlos Rogers, and I'm trying to – who did the Bulls get? Will Perdue?
The Bulls?
Somebody, yeah. Okay. I can't remember who Chicago takes. Anyway, that doesn't matter because –
Krause Dickie Simpkins.
Dickie Simpkins.
Oh, my God.
Correct. And so Krause goes to the podium. We love Dickie Simpkins. He's this, he's that, tough, hard-nosed guy. And the media goes, Jerry, can we ask you about the rumors that you're trading Scottie Pippen to Seattle? And he said, I don't know where David Kaplan got that. We did not approach Seattle. That's all he kept saying. We did not approach Seattle. And I'm getting drilled on the score because I work at AM 1000, which ironically now, all these 25 years later, I'm back on the same signal, different station because now it's ESPN Radio. and yeah. I'm getting crushed. Dan McNeil, all those guys on the score, destroying me. Where would he come up with this stupid deal? Krause denied it, blah, blah, blah. Now I get a call from a guy a couple years later. Mark Workentin is a friend of mine who was an assistant coach at UNLV and I had lost touch with the last few years. He says, hey, I'm with the Portland Trailblazers. Could we come in and interview you about the draft? Three kids that are probably going in the first round all listed you as a reference on their NBA questionnaire because they played for you on your AAU team. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who is it? Donnie Boyce, Sherelle Ford, and Michael Finley, all from Proviso East.
Mm.
I said, yeah, no problem. I meet them at the Fairmont restaurant in the basement for breakfast. This is during the pre-draft camp. And I said, Mark, where the hell have you been? Because I lost touch with you for a while. He said, yeah, after I left Vegas, he was at UNLV. I went to the Seattle Supersonics, and then our president, Bob Whitsitt, got hired away to run Portland, and he brought me with him. And I said, hold on a second. You worked for the Seattle Supersonics. Did you guys make a trade for Scottie Pippen? He goes, quote, that's a sore subject I'd rather not discuss with you. Mm-hmm. I said, no, BS. You got to tell me. He's like, I'll tell you what happened. He said, we made a great trade. We traded a troubled guy, talented but troubled, for a future Hall of Famer, and that blank and Jerry Krause leaked it to a buddy of his in the Chicago media, and our fan base freaked out over it, and our owner panicked. And I said, man, that's not how it went down. How the hell would you know? I said, and he said, this asshole in the Chicago media. And I said, well, that's not how it went down, because I'm the asshole in the Chicago media. And he goes, what? I said, dude, I'm the guy that broke that story. He said, how would you have gotten it? Krause? I said, absolutely not. Jerry Krause and I, and all due respect to him, he was a great basketball guy. We had a bad relationship until a year before he died. We buried the hatchet. And I said, Jerry Krause had nothing to do with this. I got it from Sean Kemp's agent. He goes, you're kidding me. I said, no, a chance encounter in the elevator. He's like, dude, if you don't report that on our radio station, that trade goes through, it's done. Our fan base had no idea. The deal's done, and Scottie Pippen is a Sonic. It was agreed to. He goes, Krause begged us to make that trade, threw all this money at us, and our owner wouldn't sign off on it. And I'm like, well, I can just tell you, that's how I got the story. He said, well, if George Karl ever finds out about this, he would beat you within an inch of your life. That's how mad he was. Now, fast forward to Rick Majerus dies. Rick was at my wedding. He was one of my closer friends.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the funeral. It's in December, I want to say, 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
And it's on a Saturday at Marquette University's church. I walk in, and who's the first person I see when I get in the door? There's George Karl. I walk up to him. I said, hey, George, my name's David Kaplan. I'm a radio TV guy in Chicago, but I actually used to scout in the league. And he said, oh, yeah, you were a friend of Rick's. I said, yep. I said, can I ask you a quick question? Do you remember the Scottie Pippen for Sean Kemp trade? He goes, don't get me started. It gets my blood pressure fired up to this day. I said, why? He said, because that asshole Jerry Krause gave my information, that trade, to his buddy in the media, and it ended up costing us a trade. I go, didn't quite go down that way, pal. What do you mean? I tell him the story, and he's like, if I had seen you that day when you reported it on our radio station and it cost me the trade, I literally would have punched you in the face. That's how mad I was. And I told him how it went down, and he's like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. He goes, dude, I'm just telling you, I don't know what the future would have been, but you would not have had Scottie Pippen to win three more championships.
Unbelievable. Cap, yep. I mean, your impact on Bulls history is insane. Now, I got to ask two follow-up questions. So, 94, you know, Jordan was still retired. He didn't come back till February of the following 95.
Correct.
Do you know at 11, so Carlos Rogers was picked by Seattle, but two picks later was Jalen Rose, who the Bulls later acquired as in a trade under Krause. Do you know who the Bulls would have picked at 11?
I don't know who they would have taken. I do know Jerry liked Jalen Rose a lot. He was a Jalen Rose guy. Could he have taken him there? I would imagine that would probably be somebody he would have looked at. But I can tell you he liked Jalen Rose a lot.
Let's assume he takes Jalen. and the trade does go through. Because I will counter, I absolutely love Sean Kemp. In 96, the Bulls played Seattle in the finals, obviously, in the 70-win team. And he was a force of nature. He was awesome in that series. I mean, he was a great power forward. Obviously, they wouldn't have had to trade for Rodman. But do you think a team of Jalen Rose and Kukoc playing at his natural position of the three, and Jordan and Sean Kemp could have won a title?
I mean, look, any team that has one guy who wears 23 on it has a chance to win the championship. That was Michael at his primo. The Bulls were obviously not going to trade Michael's rights. Michael has said, well, if Scottie wasn't here, I wasn't coming back. That's bull. Michael was coming back. He was a basketball player, and there's no shot that he was going to ever not be in a Bulls uniform at that point either. So could they have won? Yeah, they absolutely could have won. Was Scottie the perfect Robin to Michael's Batman? 100%. But it probably, if that deal had gone down, you never would have had Dennis Rodman. Never would have had that Beatles-like feel it ended up being for three glorious championships.
You had a major impact on Bulls history, without a doubt. That trade would have happened without your presence. I mean, that's why you're Chicago icon. I can't thank you enough for sharing the story. Because what percentage of people do you think Bulls fans now know this story?
I've told it a couple times. It's never really gotten the attention that I think it should.
Yeah.
One of my big regrets is that we were going to get Jerry Krause, at least offer him to go on camera and tell that story, and then he died. I'm not sure Jerry would have done it, but I got to tell you, man, that story needs to be told. It needs to be done in a Chicago-flavored, NBC Sports Chicago, inside look style, 30 for 30,
absolutely,
for lack of a better term.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
Go back, and I was on a bus December of 17. I had to go to an ESPN talent summit in Bristol. So every single ESPN talent from around the United States had to be in Bristol. It was, I think, December 13, 2017. They had shuttles taking us to this auditorium to hear the speech from the president of the company. I am sitting literally next to Scottie Pippen on the bus. And I turned to Scottie, and we know each other. I said, hey, man, I got to tell you something. Do you realize you were traded to the Sonics? And he chuckles. He's like, I've heard that rumor before. I go, dude, it was not a rumor. It was done. Krause was livid that he couldn't move you for Sean Kemp. And Scotty's like, he was that set on doing it? I said, no, it was done, Scotty. I'm just telling you. You were a Sonic until I broke the story, and the fan base in Seattle freaked out. Yeah, it's still one of the most bizarre things I've ever been involved in.
Cap, I got to say, on behalf of C-Red Nation, thank you for what you did and saving us another great, you know, three-peat. It was just, without you, who knows what would have happened. I know for certain we wouldn't have won three. You know, who knows if we would have won one. So, I mean, your impact on Bulls history deserves a much... we need to look at this again, and I'm going to spread the word on this like never before. So I can't thank you enough. I got to ask you one more question. The next year, you mentioned Michael Finley, and I was sitting in my dorm room at the University of Illinois, and that was the day I was done with Krause. When the Bulls were up, at 20.
And Michael Finley, they left him on the board.
Michael Finley was on the board, and I'm like, this guy, he could go under Jordan. He's going to be incredible. He's going under tutelage of Jordan and Pippen. He's going to be, and they took Jason Caffey, and Michael Finley went next to Phoenix.
Yep.
Were you cheering for Finley to be drafted? Well, what's your experience with him?
Okay, so I coached him. This is a true story. I got this great AAU team, and one thing I felt like I could do, I could recruit. I loved it when I was a college coach. I loved putting my AAU team together. So my AAU team back in the early 90s was, my guards were Peter Patton, starting point guard at DePaul, damn good player. Chris Collins, played at Duke, and now coaching Northwestern. And Ryan Hoover, the starting point guard, combo guard at Notre Dame. Those are my three guards. My forwards are Lance Broderson of Waubonsie Valley, who started at Texas A&M, damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
I had Gerald Eaker, 6'11", from St. Joe's, who played at Ohio State and transferred to Nebraska. Rashard Griffith, who was the best player in the country, 6'11", 7 foot, 7'1", who played at Wisconsin for 2 years. We had Donnie Boyce. We had Sherelle Ford. And this kid calls me and says, hey, Donnie and Sherelle are going off to be in the Nike camp. I didn't get an invite. Can I come play on your team? And I said, yeah, Michael, I've got my roster set. I'm trying to remember who else we had. But every guy I had was a big-time Division I player. And I said, hey, look, you're welcome to come to practice tomorrow, but nothing I can do really and put you on the roster. He ends up showing up, and within 10 minutes, I turned to my assistant and went, that's the best freaking player we've got. And he ended up starting for us, and he was a stud. And when Jerry left him on the board, I couldn't believe it.
Good kid.
So, phenomenal. I mean, an amazing kid.
Yeah, I'll never forgive him for it. I don't know what is the... I remember I saw in retrospect, he said he didn't think he was a good enough shooter, and... Well, I don't know.
Yep.
I mean,
it is what it is, kid.
Yeah. Hey, Cap, I can't thank you enough. Great
you
stuff.
You got it. Have a great day and a great holiday weekend, buddy.
You too. Have a good one, Cap. Bye-bye.
See you, kid.